Hey, guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so, with producer Greg Carpenter in the background. Couldn't do it without him. He is fist pumping right now. And we both welcome our guest this morning, Jennifer Broderick. She is a licensed clinical social worker and executive director of Bridges to Housing Stability. And we haven't talked since pre-COVID. Jen, it's so good to see you.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm really excited to be here and take this time to be with you.
Absolutely. And we have an introduction. And I mean, sometimes people don't want to toot the horn on themselves. So we're going to do the tooting here and do this fancy introduction in case people aren't as familiar with Jennifer Broderick as they should be, or perhaps they will be at the end of this interview, we hope. Jennifer Broderick is a licensed, certified social worker whose career is marked by dedication to community empowerment and social change. Since joining Bridges to Housing Stability, the nonprofit dedicated to preventing and ending homelessness through affordable housing solutions and advocacy in Howard County, she has played a key role in advancing the organization's mission to prevent homelessness and foster long-term housing stability in the community. We're all clapping.
Thank you so much.
Jen, do you just go back and look at your mission statement every morning before you regroup and you say, okay, I'm going to take on another day here? That's a big responsibility.
It is. It's a lot, especially right now. There's so much going on. And
absolutely, which is why I think the timing of this interview couldn't be better in that aspect, because a lot of people like you have been working, you know, sometimes quietly behind the scenes. And now that it's brought to the forefront with everything going on with SNAP and the economy and all of that, and the furloughs, it's top of mind for everybody, I think, right now that they're thinking about the future. So just to begin, I think a good place to start always is with who is Bridges to Housing Stability exactly, and what is your mission, in case those that are listening aren't as familiar.
Right. And so you said most of it in the introduction. Actually, we are a nonprofit in Howard County dedicated to preventing and ending homelessness through affordable housing solutions and advocacy.
And that's great, in Howard County. And how has your mission evolved since its founding in 1998? You've been there how long now?
I've been at Bridges for 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We started in 1990, and our focus was on transitional housing for families. That's where kind of that. And we've evolved since then, because through our work, we've recognized that there's no one-size-fits-all solution to homelessness. And sometimes people need a little bit with equity. Some people need a little bit of help, and some people need a little bit more due to their circumstances. So we proudly offer multiple programs to aid Howard County families facing housing instability and homelessness.
That's wonderful, because yeah, every case is unique. Right. And you guys all have the skills to you know, give people what they need to get back on their feet. And gosh, that's so critical, like you say, especially now. So about how many people do you serve each year? And that being said, we'll look back in the past 12 months, but I'm sure you've noticed an uptick most recently in people who need your services, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people calling for help right now, especially for eviction prevention, because that's just, rents are going up and people are really burdened by these rents. So we serve directly about 900 individuals in 305 households, including about 453 children. But our advocacy work helps to bring more affordable housing to not only local Howard County, but throughout the state. So that can affect thousands of people if we increase the affordable housing.
Yeah. And as I'm thinking about all these things that are floating around in our heads, like also if this is a kind of like open enrollment for insurance period for a lot of people, and yes, that everything seems to be going up, and housing, as you mentioned, is going up. So it's like, it can be common for people to feel like they're kind of underwater.
Exactly.
So thank you for being here to help so many people. And what makes homelessness in Howard County different from other areas of Maryland? Because it is a very rich and unique county full of so much talent, but it's also not the most affordable place to live sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the most expensive places to live, especially in Maryland, and Maryland is one of the most expensive places to live in the country. So many of the clients we serve are hardworking families. They have jobs, they just don't have enough money to afford all the things that they need, especially housing. And our county's homeless population may be less visible than in a lot of places, like in the city, where you might see it every day on the street and you see people sleeping. But the number of people in Howard County experiencing homelessness continues to increase due to the ongoing housing crisis, rising eviction rates, discrimination that we see all the time, and increasing rents.
Yeah, those are all big, big issues. And you're right, it isn't as more visible. You know, you don't see it as often, even in, as opposed to like Baltimore County, where we live and work. It's, you know, you see it more often in certain spots, and you're mm-hmm. like, it's kind of a reminder, you know. The other day I gave my apple to somebody on the corner. I didn't have any cash at the time, but I was like, here's some apples. You know, I mean, everybody doing what they can do. You know, that only lasted for a few minutes, unfortunately. But if we can all kind of reach into our hearts and try to help people a little bit. Tell me more about the factors that are contributing to this issue, especially in Howard County.
So we've mentioned one of the factors is the cost of housing in Howard County. It's risen significantly in the last few years. And in addition to that, we're facing a shortage of over 7,500 affordable homes that we need to just serve those that are already here in our county. And when there is a significant lack of affordable options, families have difficult decisions to make. They're at higher risk of experiencing homelessness and housing instability. And the rent that we are paying is, you know, it's going up too for like subsidies and assistance. So when we try to get somebody into housing, it can cost $4,000 or $5,000 just to move in costs, mm-hmm. which a lot of our families just don't have that sitting in the bank.
You're right. You've got deposits and things like that,
first
and
cash
up front. And if you're already like trying to come from an expensive property to a more affordable property, you're already stretched. So you're not going to have that extra cash for that. You know, those out-of-pocket expenses like that.
Exactly.
But thankfully, though, Bridges to Housing Stability, you have these a wide variety of programs that cover a wide range of services. So if you could explain, you know, how your programs work individually and who they're designed to help, and I might even toss in there, I'm sure you're constantly updating these as you see new needs and increased needs and things like that.
Yeah, as I said before, we've really grown and added a lot of new programs because there isn't a one-size-fits-all. So we're part of what's called the Coordinated Entry System. And throughout the country, there are different what's called continuum of cares. So every jurisdiction in the country has a continuum of care and is required by HUD to have a coordinated entry system. So there's no wrong door if somebody is experiencing homelessness or housing instability and eviction. They can come through this system. And so that comes with short and long-term support for people. It's connecting people to housing that are in crisis with equitable and efficient, you know, services. Mm-hmm. And then we also have an affordable rental program, so scattered site rentals that are below market for those that are working in Howard County with low to moderate incomes. We have move-in assistance programs, as I talked about. It's very expensive to have that money to move in, so this supports families via short-term financial aid just to cover those upfront housing costs that are needed. And then our transitional housing programs provide temporary housing with supportive services to people who are either formerly incarcerated or are survivors of human trafficking and domestic violence.
Yeah, so that's, and those are, you know, a little bit more complex situations, but that's more common than you think. And they have a unique set of needs that you all are equipped to handle at Bridges to Housing Stability, which is sort of, which we'll get more into your background too, which has a lot to do with, you know, your background as a social worker, how much that comes in handy so much,
right.
you know how to help people in the way that they need. So how prevalent is homelessness in Howard County? Because this, you know, we need to kind of open people's eyes that may not be aware of this number.
Right. So we do what's called a point in time count, where on a single night, how many people are experiencing homelessness. So we have 147 residents in Howard County reporting on a single night of experiencing homelessness. Many are unsheltered. About a third of those are unsheltered because we don't have enough shelter space in Howard County. We only have one shelter and it's always full. So in addition, we have a program called Family Home Start. We We partner with the Howard County Public School System to help students who are experiencing homelessness and their families. So there's each year about 728 students in Howard County Public Schools face homelessness. And that's been increasing every year since 2019. So
yeah.
More and more.
So pre-pandemic. Wow. And that's tough especially for students to have to worry about mm-hmm. where they're going to get, you know, food that they need to learn and focus and, you know, have a happy childhood. Now, so the cost of housing in Howard County has risen significantly. And there's, as you mentioned, a shortage of 7,500 affordable homes. So that's a big issue. So how is Bridges to Housing Stability tackling this issue? And I'm still thinking about the one shelter that you have and that it's always full right. and that you need more space.
Right.
And you need more. It can be a little overwhelming sometimes to think of everything you have on your wish list. But yeah. how do you tackle that as it says here?
Exactly. I mean, it's really hard because there's less funding now than there was during the early days of COVID. We had additional funding coming from the government, and now, you know, we're not getting any federal government funding. And so we address this crisis by providing affordable rental programs, the rapid rehousing I talked about, permanent supportive housing to help families secure stable homes. And we're also doing a lot of advocacy for policy change. And collaborating with community partners to increase access to affordable housing solutions in Howard County. And statewide, we also work with other organizations on housing justice and initiatives to, you know, kind of address those broader problems that we have.
Yeah, that's the way to do it for sure. Working together like that as you have to. And are there any new initiatives that Bridges to Housing Stability is currently working on that we would love for people to know about and maybe how you might need help in accomplishing that?
Yeah. So, we have to tackle things in a different way because building new housing takes years. I mean, the average time period to go from idea to actually opening the doors is about 7 years.
Wow.
So it takes a really long time to get new housing. So we have to kind of think of creative ways of doing things. So we're launching a new program this month, which we're really excited about. It's called HOCO Home Share, and it's to help increase the number of affordable rental options for people that are low income. In this program, we'll connect homeowners who have a spare room in their home with people who need a place to live. And homeowners will benefit by receiving rental income and the social connection of having a tenant. And potential housemates will gain access to additional rental opportunities. Howard County is kind of an aging county. A lot of people are 50 plus and their kids have left. And so they have these large homes with empty bedrooms. And that's, you know, space that could be used for housing for people. So we're excited to get this connection going and launching that at the end of the month.
That is a really good idea. I was going to ask you about when it was going to launch in the end of the month. So here we are in November, early-ish November. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful. And that's something, do you hope that this model, as it will succeed, because I know, because everything you do will and has to succeed,
right,
of course. But is it something that you hope that maybe other counties near you and other neighbors might use this as a beacon of, you know, how they can say, ooh, that worked in Howard County. We want to take that to other surrounding counties.
Yeah, I actually just had a meeting yesterday with Frederick County because they're very interested in it. They're trying to reach out to different places. There's about 75 programs nationwide that are doing this home share program. Home sharing. Some have been going since the 70s in California. They've been doing that program successfully. So there's a lot of really good models, and we can do the best practices. And now with technology, we're using like a smart match app, which will allow people to kind of say, you know, have compatibility with the people that they're matched with. So you don't have to worry about, oh, is this going to be a smoker in my home? It's already, you know, there. You can decide who you want to match with, and we'll,
that compatibility is important because then you're making sure that you set up for success and not failure.
Exactly.
With a little background thought with that. So, and it sounds to me like you had a lot to do with this, right? I'm sure you're excited about it.
Yeah, it's great. In Howard County, we had a housing opportunities trust fund that was passed, and they really wanted, okay, like think of some creative solutions. What's out there that's working in other places, and how can we try to pilot it here and see how it goes. So we're really excited. It's been a lot of work to get it kind of set and ready to go, but we're ready. Our new program manager just started yesterday. So,
and so what are the best ways to get involved with Bridges to Housing Stability? Because all these things that you're doing to help others and things that you're, you know, new things that you're starting, everything, you know, and less funding and more need and all of that equals we need some help from the public. We need some help from the people who might be listening to this program, hopefully. So, you know, what's the best way for people to get involved and help out so that you can continue to help more and more people?
Well, we offer many opportunities to get involved through volunteering, partnering with our organization. We're always looking for other advocates, you know, so, and donations, of course, as you said, that just really, we need that right now. Funding is desperately needed, as well as just things that people might need. We do welcome home baskets, which, you know, we house over 134 households every year. And so every one of them gets like just a new basket that has some, you know, sheets and towels and paper products, all the things that you need as you get settled. And so those kind of in-kind donations are also needed. So to learn more about how you can help make a lasting impact, you can go to our website, bridges2hs.org, or contact us via phone on at 410-312-5760. And we're also on all the social media at Bridges2HS.
Great. And which platforms are you most active on, would you
say? We're most active on Facebook. And I would say...
Maybe Instagram, probably?
Instagram, yes.
Yeah.
And thank
then,
you.
Yeah. Oh, no worries. And we could, you've got more important things to worry about. Don't worry. And then also, you know, X and LinkedIn. I'm asking.
Yeah, we have accounts on those. I guess we just post a little bit less probably.
Yeah. And I was just asking too, because, you know, I'll be eventually putting all of this, if people are just joining us in progress. You know, we're talking to Jen Broderick, who is a licensed clinical social worker and executive director of Bridges to Housing Stability in Howard County. And, you know, we'll write this all up at today's1019.com and share it on social media, which is kind of why that's usually sometimes a good first place to start is the website, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm always amazed by all the things that you do when you just go right there and you're like, oh, here's everything I need. Everything that you just talked about is in an easy spot for people to see and to understand and to share with others. And again, that phone number 410-312-5760, because we can't forget about our old school neighbors that just like to pick up the phone and might not have access to a smartphone or tablet to check out the website. So, you know, that's also important, too. And this time of year, I feel like, you know, is that the best way that people can make an impact? Is, you know, is there any volunteering opportunity, or is it more donations and monetary because you have more, you know, buying power to help others? As a bigger organization than one individual, you know?
Right? So we get pretty busy around the holidays as well. So we do Thanksgiving baskets for all of our families. So we need people to come and deliver them, or you know, bring some baskets and deliver them to our different families. Also, the holidays, we do holiday gifts as well. So looking for people to organize those and deliver them. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities here around the holidays. We'd love to have the help.
That's good, because it's not just, you know, housing. It doesn't stop there. You're also making sure people get a head start on the things that they need to nourish themselves and also to celebrate the holidays with their families. And that can also be very costly. So,
right, yeah, exactly. We don't want people to make the choice between buying something for their child and paying rent, right? That's a difficult decision, or food and rent. People have to make that decision every month. And, you know, we really encourage them to prioritize rent, stay stable in housing, and let's help in different ways. Let's bring you gift cards. Let's bring you the Thanksgiving baskets. Let's kind of take that stress away from you.
That's so great.
Ways.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that, because that's incredible. That's really helping out a lot of people. And now a little bit about your background, because I think people are always interested to see, like, you have such an important job, such a cool job, stressful job. But tell us a little bit about your background. You don't just, you know, fall out of college and here you are talking to us here at Odyssey Baltimore. There's a couple of steps along the way there. But tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, what makes you so passionate about working with people who are facing housing instability and homelessness. Is there something in you that inspired you to do this incredible work?
Right. So I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, far away from here. But in high school, actually, I did a service project at a homeless shelter there. And I was just very struck by the experience of the people there, of people sleeping on the floor in a big gymnasium area, and just how different that was from what I had, you know, my own room at my house. And I just felt very strongly that I wanted to help people get into housing. And that was, you know, at 15 years old.
Wow.
I just felt very convicted by it. And I didn't really know what that looked like. I didn't know how I was going to do that. But, you know, I found a way once I took my first social work class in college. I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be in the community. I want to be helping people to get the services that they need and get into housing. So since the 1990s, I've been working with the unhoused population, various roles with shelters, and now with Bridges for the last 12 years. Always, you know, I got my master's in social work, focused on community organizing and nonprofit management. So I didn't go kind of the clinical route as some social workers do. Mm-hmm. Love therapy and all of that is very important. But to me, it was about running a good nonprofit and helping people with those direct services.
Yeah, that really worked out. And I didn't realize you could sort of take those two paths. I guess I always thought about it more in your capacity than there is also that mental health and that whole clinical side of things.
Yeah, majority social workers choose the clinical path and do therapy, but a small number of us are more on the what's called macro side of social work, looking at community solutions. And so I just really feel that housing is the foundation that people need. I've seen so many lives just turned around once they get out of the crisis of experiencing homelessness. And you, we are that bridge, like our name says, housing to bridges to housing stability. We're that bridge between that crisis and people being able to launch and go forward and have be able to achieve their goals, get better income and better jobs, and their health improves, and they're able to reunite with their children and provide a safe place for them. And it's just amazing to see how lives change once they have housing, and that such a big impact. It impacts people so extremely. For a person that is experiencing chronic homelessness, their lifespan is less than 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
That's expectancy for life expectancy.
Wow.
And so it's so much less than the general population, because being homeless comes with so many more risks, safety, health, you know, infections, all of these things that they have to deal with. So, you know, housing just helps so much in health and other ways for people. And so I'm very passionate about that.
Yeah, that is
obviously
really, that's really key. I'm picturing the 15-year-old Jen, and I think that's so cool that even that young, you knew exactly what your mission was, and you've never looked back. Like, you've always done that. You've never wavered.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really great inspiration for other people to hear that, young people to hear that. At any stage of your life, you can reinvent yourself and head in that direction if you want.
Right. And you can make an impact, and, you know, don't necessarily always have to know how that path is going to go. But if you're passionate about something, you can really make a difference in a lot of lives.
Absolutely. So what kind of policy changes is Bridges to Housing Stability currently advocating for? And we're in our final minutes, but if you want to talk about that. And also, just hit me like a light bulb when you were talking about the bridge to housing stability from homelessness. And it's like, instead of asking, why do you have the name you have? I just saw the visual. I just heard the impact. I just saw the passion in your voice and your face. That's what it's all about. That's a perfect name for what you do every day.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so our local policy changes, we're really looking right now, it's not exciting for a lot of people, but pushing for zoning changes to just allow for more kinds of housing in Howard County and the state, really pushing to expand like what we call accessory dwelling units, ADUs, so those like basement apartments and tiny homes, things like that, allowing those to exist, which they can't right now in Howard County the way that the zoning is. So allowing for missing middle housing, so those fourplexes and that kind of thing, where, you know, before it's only single family homes are the only things that are allowed in a lot of areas of Howard County. So allowing for those increased density, and that's just gonna it doesn't impact a lot of traffic, it doesn't impact a lot of schools, but it allows for more affordable options for people.
Yeah, that's very complex and also very critical at the same time. So I'm glad you work so well together with those who are the policymakers, because that's where the change comes from. And what are some of the myths you want to dispel real quick about homelessness for the community that you serve, you know, that people might not know.
Right. So there's a lot of stereotypes when it comes to homelessness, that people are not working, that they just need a job. Over 80% of the people we serve are already working. And a lot of people have disabilities that, you know, don't allow them to work. So, you know, between those two, people are trying the best they can. Also that, you know, people are drug addicts, and that's a very small percentage of who we serve have addiction. And a lot of times, as I talked about before, the passion, you know, homelessness often causes drug addiction because you're in crisis and you're dealing with all of these things that are on you, right? The cold and the heat and the safety concerns, and that might be a way of coping. Once you get housed, you can get the help that you need and get connected to the services, and people get clean.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And finally, ending on a happy note, are there any client success stories in particular that you really want to share to just sort of explain the impact that you can and do make every day on people?
Yeah, we like to talk about Carmen. Carmen was living in her car. She had not been able to be with her son. He was living with a family member, so they weren't able to live together. She was working, but just didn't have that money to get into a place. So she moved into one of our affordable units, and just everything started to come together for her. She got her health in check. A lot of those chronic conditions, got the help that she needed, lost a lot of weight, so she felt healthier and stronger. She got an IT certificate. She got a better job. She started fixing up computers to help her neighbors and friends, that to give them technology so they could have access to technology to help them as well. And she got reunited with her son. All of that because housing, right? Yep. Like it was the launching point. It's that bridge, as we talked about before. So very exciting. And I love to see those things.
Yeah, happen. Carmen is an inspiration, as are you, Jen Broderick, who is a licensed clinical social worker and executive director of Bridges to Housing Stability. We really loved having you here today, Jen, and please come back anytime. And I know, especially with everything you're working on, you know, the HOCO Home Share and all your programs and everything we'll do in the future, we'll always have a spot here to talk about all the great work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for caring so much.
Absolutely. I think my heart grew 3 sizes bigger while I was talking to you. Bridges2HS.org. We really encourage you guys to check out the website when you can, or contact Bridges to Housing Stability in Howard County at 410-312-5760. Thanks to producer Greg behind the scenes, and you all for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.